This week's parsha has a couple, if not more than a couple, of sections or stories, parshiot we call them, that are among the most difficult to understand in the Chumash, if not Tanakh. I'm thinking of two specific stories, and I'd like to focus on one of the two stories. One story, one episode, the whole story of Shimon and Levi and Shechem, from the people of Shechem and the people of Shechem, Dinah. That's an incredible story. Were they correct? Were they incorrect? Were they murderers? Were they tzaddikim? Did Yaakov know? What did he know? When did he know it? Why did he respond the way he responded? Why did he give them the bracha at the end of the Sefer? Based on that episode, it clearly impacted them greatly. We're going to talk about that Bli Neder in Vayechi, to some degree. But there's another episode, and if you can open up your Chumashim to Perek Lamed Bet, Pasuk Chafhei. There is another episode, and this is the episode of the wrestling match between Yaakov Avinu and this Ish. And I do want to, as you're finding the story in Perek Lamed Bet, beginning with Pasuk Chafhei, I want to read to you one line that Nechama Leibowitz says about this episode. Nechama Leibowitz, I'm quoting the Hebrew, but we have the English here also. She says, Omdim anu hapam, we are now confronted with Bifnei achat meharshiyot hakashot shebat Torah. Says Nechama Leibowitz, we are now needing to learn one of the most difficult stories in the Chumash, Parsha Afufat Mistorim. A parsha, a story, an episode that is surrounded in mystery. Maybe we'll say shrouded in mystery. What is going on here? What is the story? Who was fighting? Why was he fighting? What's the fight about? And I'd like, with your permission, to share an idea. Most of what I'm saying tonight is not my own idea. Most of what I'm saying, I'm standing on the shoulders of a man by the name of Rav Aryeh Hendler. Rav Aryeh Hendler used to be the Sgan Minahel, he used to be the Sgan Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Chalvin. Rav Aryeh Hendler, he used to be the Chavruta of the current Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Michal Yamer. He used to be the Chavruta of Rabbi Shenkelevsky, and tremendous Talmud Chacham in his own right. He is now the Rosh Yeshiva of a Hesder Yeshiva, which is a little bit of a branch of Yeshivat Shalavim. It's a yeshiva called Yeshivat Ramla. Ramla is not Ramallah. Ramla is a city just next nearby Shalavim. It's a little bit of a branch that broke off, not broke off, branch of Shalavim, branched out from Shalavim. And he is the Rosh Yeshiva, and he much of what I'm going to say tonight is based on his mahalach, with some things that I'm standing on his shoulder. But first, let's read the pasuk, the psukim. Perek lamed bet, pasuk chaf hey. Vayivater, let's put it in perspective for a moment. Yaakov, for some reason or another, the Medrash doesn't understand why, Yaakov decides to wake a sleeping dog. That's not me talking, that's the Medrash talking. The Medrash tells us that a man walking peacefully sees a dog on the ground and bends over and wiggles its ears. The dog obviously is going to wake up and not be happy. And the Medrash says that's what Yaakov did. Yaakov was in Laban's house for more than 20 years. He ran away from Esav. Yaakov is now tremendously wealthy, powerful now, large family, well-skilled at dealing with the Lavans of the world, and he's ready to go home. And the Torah begins with, the Parsha begins, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav. Why? Don't know exactly why. one pshat in the beginning of the parsha of Vayira Yaakov Ma'od Vayetzer Lo is that he was afraid and he was troubled. One pshat is that he was troubled for waking up the dog. It was a mistake. I'm afraid, but I also am regretting that I actually sent those messages in the first place. He's ready. He's ready with his army. He's ready with his gift. He's ready with his tefillah. He divides his camp. And he walks back over the river. And here we are. Right before a significant confrontation with Esav, we have this story. Vayivater Yaakov levado. Yaakov was left alone. Vayeyavek ish imo ad alot hashachar. He's left alone. He is alone. Don't know why we need to know that. And he fights with a man. Did he start the fight? Did the man start the fight? Who is this man? Ad alot hashachar. Okay. Vayar. And he saw. Ki lo yachol lo. He saw that he could not overcome him. This in English is called not a misplaced modifier, but it's called a dangling participle. I was playing catch with Baruch and Shmuel, and I threw the ball to him. What's that called? Empty? Qualifier? Ambiguous? Pronoun. Is that it? Ambiguous. What? I don't know which one.
Yeah, ambiguous.
Ambiguous antecedent. Is that right? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Ambiguous antecedent. I got to remember that. It's so much in the Chumash Tanakh. It's full, not by accident, on purpose. And very often, a drash, when you ask what's bothering Rashi, an answer might be ambiguous antecedent. It might be that answer. Okay. Vayar ki lo yachalo. He saw that he could not overcome him. It happens to be in the context we're going to find out. We know that it's the Ish. Even in the context, not even in the drash, but the context we're going to see momentarily that this Ish was unable to overcome Yaakov. Vayiga b'chaf yerecho, vateka kaf yerech Yaakov, beheyavko imo. You see that? The context tells us very clearly that something happened to his nerve, sciatic nerve. It was displaced. Vayomer, he said to him, Shalcheini ki ala shachar. He said to him, let me go, because it's morning. It's okay to scuffle it in the middle of the night, but I got work to do. I'm going somewhere. Not really clear where you're going. Not really clear why ala hashachar is the reason you have to let me go. Vayomer lo ashalechacha. Ki im berachtani, I'm only going to let you go if you give me a bracha. Vayomer elav. Okay, so the Ish says, fine. Mashemecha. I didn't know who was talking in Chav Zayin, but Chav Chet is telling me. Vayomer elav, Mashemecha. Vayomer Yaakov. Your name is Yaakov. My name is Yaakov. Chav Tet. Vayomer lo Yaakov, yei amer od shimcha, ki im Yisrael. I'm not changing your name now. I don't have authority to change your name. Your name's going to be changed later in the Chumash, and later in our Parsha. But you're not going to be called Yisrael anymore. Yaakov, you're going to be called Yisrael. Ki sarita im Elokim v'im anashim. You fought. You struggled with God and with people. Vatuchal, and you succeeded. Full of mystery. Every pasuk. When? Who? Who's Elokim? What does that mean? Vayishal Yaakov vayomer hagida nashemecha. You ask me my name. I'm asking you, what's your name? We've been fighting all night, right? Nice to know who we are. He says, what's your name? Vayomer lama zet ishalishmi. It's true that I asked you your name, and you told me, but now when you know, hi, what's your name? David. Hi, what's your name? Why are you asking? What do you mean? You just asked me. Not clear. Lama zet ishalishmi. Why are you asking? Okay. Vayavarech oto sham, and he gave him a bracha. I thought he already gave him a bracha. I thought the bracha was changing the name. These are tons of questions. Lamed Aleph. Vayikra Yaakov Shema Makom Piniel, Ki Ra'iti Elokim, Panim El Panim. I saw God, or I should say I saw Elokim. Elokim has three meanings in Tanakh, in the Pshat. Elokim has three meanings in Tanakh. One meaning is God, What are the other two meanings of Elohim? In the Pshat. And in these cases, you wouldn't say Elohim. You would say Elohim. In the Pshat of the Psukim. One is?
Master.
Master, but like referring to what kind of master? What kind of... one is humans. What kind of humans? Judges. And another? Elohim refers to? Angels. Malachim. Vayetechasreyu me'at me'elohim. Angels are also referred to in Pshat of the Psukim. So, I'm going to call this place Peniel because I saw God. I saw Elohim, I should say. Face to face. Can't really see God face to face. It's possible that this is a different Elohim. And he didn't fight God, so he maybe fought somebody else. Vatinatzel nafshi, and I was saved. Vayizrach lo ha-shemesh, ka'asher avar et Peniel. The sun rose. I thought the sun rose already. So maybe there's Alot HaShachar and there's Netzach Hama. The sun rose, Kasher Avar et Penuel, Vehu Tzolea Al Yerecho. He's limping. Limping. Al Kain Lamed Gimel, Lo Yochlu V'nei Yisrael et Gira Nashe, Asher Al Kafa Yerech. This is the reason why people, Jews, forever, do not eat the Gid HaNasha, the sciatic nerve of an animal, the hind quarters of the animal. It's very, very hard to take out. You can't eat it, but it's even hard to take out. And so people often don't even eat the hind quarters of any animal. And so people don't eat the Gid HaNasha, the displaced nerve on the hind quarters. Arayom Hazeh. It's a mitzvah today. The reason is Ki Nagah B'Chaf Yerech Yaakov Begid Hanashe. I am not going to go into this now. I do, some of you may know, I do send out a daily Dvar Torah, and the daily Dvar Torah on this was about the Gid Hanashe that I'm not talking about now, of what the connection is between me eating and Gid Hanashe. I will just tell you very quickly, first of all, you're welcome to join the group if you want. I send out a daily WhatsApp Dvar Torah. It's not a commercial, but you're welcome to. But those of you who do listen, this is a repeat. But the Sefer HaChinuch, this is a gorgeous idea. The Sefer HaChinuch, which was written in the 13th century, the Sefer HaChinuch says, this is a chill-worthy Dvar Torah, worthy of chills. The Sefer HaChinuch says that the reason why we don't eat the Gid HaNasha Bizman HaZeh is to remind us not just of Yaakov limping and getting injured, but also because of Pasuk Lamed Bet, Vayizrach Lo HaShemesh, that the sun rose. And that just like for Yaakov, all of Bnei Yisrael, by the way, the first time in Tanakh that we hear the expression Bnei Yisrael is in Pasuk Lamed Gimel. We are called Bnei Yisrael for the first time here, Bnei Yisrael. There was no Yisrael until now. Bnei Yisrael, and just like to Yisrael, just like to Yaakov, he was injured. But the sun rose. That's true for Bnei Yisrael as well. Bnei Yisrael, we could get hurt, and we have gotten hurt in the last thousands of years. But even for us, there will always be a Vayizrach Lo HaShemesh. Even we always know the sun's going to rise. We know that we're going to be healthy. And as a matter of fact, we're going to hear later that Yaakov is Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. He was whole. And one of the ways he was whole was that he was physically whole. So even though he stumbled and even though he was injured, he was not injured permanently whatsoever. At all. And we today do not eat the Gid HaNasha to remind us that even when we get hurt, we are never permanently hurt. Isn't that beautiful? Sefer HaChinuch, we're going to come back to that. Okay. What is going on? Who's he fighting with? Why is he fighting? And let's look together, pasuk by pasuk, a little bit more slowly to paint one derech to appreciate the story. Let's go back to the beginning. Vayivater Yaakov levado. Yaakov is alone. Yaakov ran away from his brother. Yaakov, he is now the head of a large and successful family. But he still has work to be done. And he must return, and he must confront himself. Vayivater Yaakov levado. I do care that he's alone, because Yaakov is not defined by the number of wives that he has. He's not defined by the number of children that he has. He's not defined by the amount of money that he has. He's defined by Yaakov himself. He's defined by Yaakov himself. He's defined by who Yaakov is. And he needs to confront himself. Who is confronting himself? Vayivater Yaakov levado, vayeavek ish imo. Now, as we saw, even the pshat of the psukim cannot be a regular person mugging Yaakov. First of all, we wouldn't care about that story. A lot of things happen to people throughout Tanakh that we don't hear about because we don't care about it. But number two, this is a person that Yaakov wants a bracha from. This is a person that has no name. This is a person who is called Elohim. And the pshat throughout Tanakh, it's either God. God is called an Ish Milchama, but he's never just called an Ish, though. God is never called an Ish. So that leaves us with judges or angels. And of course, we all know the Rashi. Rashi tells us this was Sarah Shel Esav. He has to confront a Malach. The Zohar actually says this was the Satan. And the Medrash Rabbah says it was a Malach. And he's alone, but he's struggling with this Ish. There's a certain internal struggle that he must confront. And what is this struggle? What's he confronting? Again, according to Rav Hendler, this is a struggle that each one of us struggles with. This is a struggle that each one of us battles. Each one of us battles with our own Saro Shel Esav. Each one of us battles with our own angels. And if it doesn't make sense what I'm saying, I'd like to quote you two Gemaras. You know them both, but I'm going to quote some of that, of each inside. There are many, many Mefarshim who discuss the fact that confrontations with angels are either dreams or a nevuah. And look at the very top of the page, the Rambam. It's a fantasy, but it's also a nevuah. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim tells us, Kfar Biyarnu, Shekol Makom Shenizkar, Re'iyat Malach O Diburo. I'm saying, according to the Rambam, that every time we talk about a person confronting an angel or vice versa, or speaking with an angel, it is really Ein Ze Ela B'Mar'ah HaNevuah, Oh, Bachalom. It's either a nevuah or it's a dream. Part of it is a message. It might be a message from God. And it might be a fantasy. And that's the Rambam, but many other Mefarshim talk about that. Fighting with an angel. We have that again, for example, with Yehoshua. Yehoshua, right before his confrontation, right before he begins conquering Eretz Yisrael, he too has confrontations with angels. Very often throughout Tanakh, either Torah Shebichtav or Torah Shebal Peh, people confront angels before a life-changing event. We have Yaakov, we have Yehoshua. The Gemara tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara tells us about Moshe Rabbeinu before Moshe received the Torah. But that's going to be the second Gemara. The first Gemara is each of us. We're confronted by angels. When is that? The Gemara tells us, top of the page, Sanhedrin Lamed Chet Amud Bet. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. You know this Gemara. Bish'an shebikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu livrot et ha'adam. That's you and me. Before God wanted, whatever that means, to create humans. Bara kat achat shel malachei asharet. He created angels. Amar lahem, Ritzonchem na'aseh Adam b'tzalmenu. What do you think? Let's make man. Amru lefanav on line 3. Amru lefanav ribono shel olam. Mama asav. You want to create man? What's he going to do? Amar lehen kach v'kach ma'asav. This is what humans do. They eat, they sleep, they drink, they procreate, they build, they sin. They're very human. So they said, really? Amru lefanav, line 4. Ribono shel olam, a pasuk from Tehillim Perek Chet. Ma enosh ki tizkerenu uven adam ki tifgedenu. Who is humans that we should even think of them? We should remember them. Who are humans? We don't need them. You're creating humans. They're just humans. They're so mortal. They're so finite. And God says, Hoshit etzba'o ktana b'nehem, God, whatever this means, stretched out his little finger among them, v'sorfeim, and he burned them. I am going to stop here in that Gemara, but you know how the Gemara ends because we're all here today. God convinced the angels that we should be created. But this is a paradigm example of what confrontations with angels means. A confrontation with an angel is a confrontation with our own weaknesses, our own limitations. You're going to create humans? They're nothing. The end of the Gemara is Hashem says, you're right. They're only human. You're right. They're going to make mistakes. But I still want to create them. We won the battle. The angels lost the battle in the Gemara and Lamed Chet. The angels lost the battle when it came time to create the world. But a confrontation with an angel is a confrontation with our own limitations, with our own humanity. We can't do it. We will never live up, says the angels. We will never live up to Hashem's plans and Hashem's desires, so to speak. And that's the same Gemara down below. I'll say the Gemara outside, because I think you know this Gemara, because here's another classic, paradigmatic confrontation. And this is the confrontation, I'll read the first one line of Masechet Shabbat Pecherem Bet. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, line 1. Bish'ah she'ala Moshe lamarom. I do want to read a couple lines, actually. When Moshe went up to the heavens to do what? To get the Torah. Amru malachei asharet, exact same story. Almost the same. Certainly thematically, it's the exact same story. Amru lefanav malachei, amru malachei asharet lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ribono shalolam. Mali eludi shabeinenu. What a... In Hebrew, we call it a hashpalah. Shafel means low. When I make you low, it's hashpalah. Moshe Rabbeinu, the greatest Navi that ever was or will be, the most perfected human that we know how to make, and he doesn't live up to the angel's expectations. He doesn't live up to the angel's expectations. The angels say to him, what is a yelud isha? What is this person who was born from a woman? Who is this person up here? I'm going to say this, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I sort of do. Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Who's this guy? Well, you wouldn't say that about your parents, let alone Rav Yamir, let alone I don't know who. Who's this guy? Who's Moshe Rabbeinu? But no, that is what the Malachi Asharet say. And the Gemara continues, you probably know this Gemara, the Gemara continues with Hashem making Moshe fight the angels, not physically, but debate the angels. The angels say, why is he getting the Torah? Says the Gemara. Hashem turns to Moshe and says, "Nu, why are you getting the Torah?" So Moshe answers it them and says, "Well, God, what does the Torah say?" And there's a lot of examples towards the bottom of the page. The Torah says, for example, it starts on line, let's say line 9. What does the Torah say? The Torah says you have to believe in God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. Tell me, angels. Moshe turns to the angels. Tell me, were you in Mitzrayim? Were you saved from Mitzrayim? Or you're not allowed to, you have to, the Torah says you have to keep Shabbos. Tell me, angels, do you work during the week that you keep on Shabbos? Tell me, angels, do you have parents, etc., etc.? And the story you know is that the Torah eventually was given. Moshe did win. But again and again, Yaakov, humans, Moshe, Yehoshua, and on, fights with angels are fights with our own limitations. Do we deserve it? Do we deserve the life that we have? Can we live up to the way God wants us to live? Man's confrontation with angels is a confrontation with our own limitations, with our own physicality, with our inability to live up to the goals and the plans of creation of the world. You deserve to be created? You deserve to get the Torah? Yaakov, you also don't deserve it. Vayivater Yaakov levado vayayavek ish imo. But Yaakov, and I think you heard this last night from Rav Ezra a little bit, Yaakov is not shaken. He's confronted. You're a Yaakov. He's confronted. But Yaakov is not broken. And he fights till the end. He fights against the claims that he is limited and that he has not lived up to the expectations that were expected of him. And so he fights. Vayar kilo yachalo. And the angel saw, that other side saw, that he couldn't do it. Yaakov is not broken. And he's not only not broken, but he is strengthened. How is he strengthened and why is he strengthened? He is strengthened because he knows that not only is he equal to that malach, or I'll say, not only could he be equal to that malach, he is and has the potential to be greater than that malach. A minute ago, he was confronted that he's limited. He's worthless. You're a human. You can't do that. What I can do. Take a look at the top of the Sefer Zechariah, Perek Gimel, towards the bottom. This is an idea that I think you know. Says the Torah, and says the Navi, and I'll just say the underlined words. V'natati lecha mehalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ele. Says the Navi, and this is a concept that is critical in man's struggle against himself and man's struggle against his own angels. I, says God, am going to make you a mihalech. A person walks. An angel is an omeid. An angel is an omeid. V'natati lecha mehalchim. I will make you a walker, a mover, among those that stand. Who stands? The angels. We mimic them when we daven Shmona Esrei by putting our feet together. We don't walk when we say Shmona Esrei. We don't walk when we say Kedusha because we are saying Kedusha. Nikadesh et Shimcha ba'olam. We are trying to copy the angels, not just in what we say, but how we say it. But when we're not mimicking the angels, we walk. And walking doesn't obviously only mean moving geographically. It means rising spiritually. Angels can't do that. Angels are created at a specific state, a specific stage, a specific place. Done! There's no more movement. There's no more progression. And it is true that I can make major mistakes and I can fall way below the angels. But I can also rise way above. And Yaakov knows that. And that's the struggle. Yaakov fights this angel, the fight of his own physicality. Yaakov struggles himself with his own physicality. And the angel knows that Yaakov is struggling. Vayiga bechaf yerecho vateka kaf yerech Yaakov behayav koimo. Yeah, he touches him so that Yaakov can't walk. That's exactly that. A human is a mehalech. You, Yaakov, are not a mehalech. I am going to stop you from walking. You can't walk. Every one of us confronts our angels, and we're told we can't progress. We think we can't progress. Self-doubt. I can never do what she does. I can never do that. We have some teachers that, I can never do that. I can never be that level. Are you crazy? That's your angel telling you, or I should say that's your angel whacking you in the place that you walk. You're right, you can't walk. You're convinced you can't walk. And Yaakov is struggling. When is he struggling? He's struggling at night. He's struggling exactly at night when things are unclear. Night is so hard to see clarity. Night, the word erev from the word me'urav. Things are mixed. It's so hard to tell colors. I see someone in the distance. I don't know if it's my friend or my enemy. Things are not clear. Yeah, this struggle happens when things are not clear. This struggle happens when we are in a jumbled state. That's true. And that's how Yaakov is able to receive a permanent or a seemingly permanent reminder of his own physicality. When you are at night, or when you are in the night of your thinking, when you are in the night of your self-doubt, who knows? And the angel hits him where in a place that he will be reminded for the rest of his life of his own physicality. And it looks like the angel's going to win. And it looks like Yaakov's self-doubt, and it looks like Yaakov's self-inadequacies are going to overcome him. You're right. I can't walk. I can't progress. Who did I think I was? I don't deserve the Torah. I don't deserve to be born. I don't deserve to be created. I'm only a human being. Look at me. I'm just a human. However, Chav Zayin. Vayomer shalcheni ki Allah shachar. Shachar means clarity. You got to let me go before you reach clarity. Because the minute you think about this struggle in a clear way, the minute you think about this in a vayizrach lo ha-shemesh, the minute you shine light, so to speak, then all these self-doubts go out the window. There's no reason to be in doubt. The angel must leave before daybreak. Because this battle, the battle of hesitations and the battle of loss of self-confidence, is a nighttime battle. When things are mixed up, when things are unclear, when things are dark. But once light comes, clarity comes. And so, no. Vayomer, lo, ashalechecha. I'm not going to let you go. Ki im beirachtani. I need a bracha. Yaakov, the one who embraced brachot his whole life, the one who gave brachot at the end of his life, says, no, I am going to get something out of this experience. I am going to grow from this experience. A bracha is going to come from this experience. Yaakov gets brachot. Yaakov gives brachot, and he wants a bracha here. And if you look at the very bottom of the page, in Parashat Vayechi, when Yaakov, after Yaakov gives all the brachot to each of his children, right before he dies, Yaakov says, "Kol eile shivtei Yisrael shnei masar." V'zot asher diber lehem avihem, vayevarech otam, he blessed them, ish asher kevirkato beirach otam. Everybody got the bracha that was right for them. A bracha is the number of ways to look at brachot, but the bracha is this personal blessings, expectations that somebody gives to you. And that somebody can be anybody. It can be a great teacher. It can be your father or your mother on a Friday night. It can be a hedyot. A hedyot is a regular person. The Gemara says, "Alte birkat hedyot kalabeinacha." Don't belittle a regular person's bracha because they're giving you a message. A bracha is a revelation, the exposing of a person's ability and potential. I'll tell you a very fast story. I had the zechut of being the sandik at my cousin's son's bris, holding a baby while he's getting a brit milah. Usually when I go to a brit milah, I don't look. I get queasy. And I'm not happy seeing blood. I'm very happy that they're doing it. It's a huge mitzvah. So what you gotta do is, you gotta like stand close enough because you care about the family, but there's someone in between you and the baby, and oh, I can't see. And I remember can you see? No, someone's blocking me. Okay, come over here. No, I'm fine over here. This is my makom kavua. Yeah, but you can't see. No, I know, it's too bad, but I can't see. One time somebody asked me if I could take pictures for them, like of a father. I said, I'm not really good at taking pictures, especially when I faint. Anyway, but I did watch my own sons, and Baruch Hashem, and I watched this. And afterwards, there was a minhag, I don't know if you've ever seen this, of getting a bracha from the sandik. Ever heard this before? Bracha. I got a bracha from a sandik on Shabbos morning. This past Shabbos, there was a bris in our shul. I got a bracha from the sandik. And there was a line to get a brachot, and people were laughing at me, with me, but I wasn't laughing. Because it's the story. Because people would line up, and to every person, they expected me to say, Parnasa b'shefa, bri'ut, shalom b'bayit, shiduch labanim, you know, banim means children, you know, and they expected me, blah, 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 blah. And I didn't want to do that, because that's not a bracha. That's you're benching. I don't want to bench. I mean, I do want to bench when I eat bread. I hadn't eaten yet. I want to give a bracha. Benching means a bracha, by the way. That was the joke. I don't want to bench. I want to give a bracha. So the line was long, because they were kind of hungry, but I said two things to every person. One was, I'm only giving you a bracha from the idea of birkat hedyot. I'm a regular person, and I'm only doing it because the Gemara says birkat hedyot, altei birkat hedyot kala beinecha. And it was funny because I said it to everyone. I didn't want them to think that I'm, you know, they don't have to kiss my hand. And number two, I didn't just say parnasa b'shem. I said, well, what do you want? And they had to think for a second. What do I want? And this one told me about a sick person. This one told me about themselves being sick. One woman told me that she was pregnant. So beautiful, beautiful. After I gave her the bracha, she said, don't say anything. My parents don't know yet. So, okay. Announcement, everyone. It was beautiful, I thought. That's what a bracha is supposed to be. I wanted to say something that was meaningful to them. And yes, the line was long, but that's what a bracha is. It's what do you want? What do you, I don't know you, I want to hear from you. So Yaakov is saying, give me a bracha. So, and Yaakov is saying, well, what is my potential? What am I? Can I beat these angels? Do I win the eternal struggle? But the angel doesn't answer right away. The angel, Yaakov himself, so to speak, and the angel says, okay, Vayomer Elav Mashemecha. What's your name? What's your identity? What's your bracha? What bracha do you want? How do you see yourself? How do you think other people see you? I'll give you a bracha, but the bracha is what's right for you. So, when someone says, who are you? I don't say, I am a Chicago Bears fan, A, because it's not true, but B, it's not who I don't identify that way. I first say my name. One's name is the way they identify with other people. Which is, by the way, why a Kiddush Hashem is so amazing and why a Chilul Hashem is so terrible. Because Hashem is not God. It's the way God presents himself to the world. And if I, chalila v'chas, I'm going to present a chilul Hashem, then the way God is presented to the world is reduced. If I'm going to bring a kiddush Hashem, the way God is presented to the world is raised. So yeah, Yaakov, I'll give you a bracha. But what bracha do you want? How do you see yourself? Who are you? And if you recall the medrash that Adam HaRishon had nevuah, and he looked into the essence of every creature and named it accordingly. Every creature has a name. That's why, for example, Kabbalah is full of them. I don't learn Kabbalah. But that is why a chamor, for example, whose life is carrying heavy loads, is called a chamor, a donkey. Some people say a donkey. Why is it called a donkey? Because a chamor is full of chomer. A chamor is full of carrying things, materialism, physically hauling material things. And every name is a name. Is the essence of that person. So I want to give you a bracha. You wanted to know if you can beat this struggle, I'll tell you. What's your name? And what does Yaakov say? He says, Vayomer, Yaakov. I'm Yaakov. I was born second. I was born holding on to my brother's heel. And I am still, this is a minute and a half before the struggle with Esav. I'm still struggling with Esav. I'm still holding on to Esav. I know about struggles, and I know about being second. I know about being inadequate. My name's Yaakov. And Yaakov sees himself as limited, as bogged down in the physical, which is exactly what the angel accused him of. But that's not Yaakov anymore. Because of this struggle, this cataclysmic struggle, this monumental fight will change Yaakov forever and will change us forever. The angel says, you're not Yaakov anymore. The angel says, Vayomer lo Yaakov od shimcha. Lo Yaakov yeyamer od shimcha. You're not Yaakov anymore. You're not second fiddle anymore. You're not following Esav anymore. You're not struggling with your own limitations anymore and always trying to just breathe a little bit more. Ki im Yisrael. You are Yisrael. You're not bogged down by the physical world anymore. You have fought and you have won. You are better than the angels. You are higher than the angels. Ki sarita im Elokim ve'im anashim. You had struggles with angels. Here we go, that's me. And with people, with Lavan, with Esav. You've had struggles. You can do it. The night is over. The confusion is over. So Yaakov says, Vayishal Yaakov vayomer higid enashamecha. Okay, what's your name? What's your essence? Who did I just beat? And the angel replies, Vayomer lamazet ishalishmi. I don't have an independent identity. Can you imagine having children and one of them you don't name? This is Baruch, this is Shira, this is Shlomo, and that's our fourth child. Oh, what's his name? We didn't give him a name. Oh, he's only 3 days old? No, he's 47. He's a lawyer in downtown Manhattan. What's his name? His business card is blank, actually. We have no idea who he is. That's ridiculous. But the angel says, I don't have a name. I don't have an essence. I don't have an independent identity. Unlike you, says the angel, I don't have a name. I don't have a separate identity. I don't exist. I only exist in the nighttime when you struggle with these insecurities, when you struggle with these uncertainties. I am, says the angel, built on fear. I am, says the angel, built on lack of self-confidence. But the minute you have confidence, the minute you're called Israel, the minute it's Alot HaShachar, I'm not there anymore. There are no insecurities. I am not worried at this moment that a frog is going to jump on my head. A, because I don't care if he does, but well, I would be surprised. But B, it's not a fear that I'm struggling with. If I did, that would be very sick. That's not something to be nervous about. That would be a sickness if I was. Chalila v'chas. There is no angel. There is no struggle. It's daytime. You can beat them. You can beat everyone. As a matter of fact, that's what some people say. That's exactly what Yaakov, but what the angel told Yaakov, Lama zeti shali shmi, my name is, why are you asking me, you ask me my name? My name is, Lama zeti shali shmi, my name is lack of clarity. My name is, my essence is don't ask too many questions. My name is, my very being is don't shine too much light on it. I live in the darkness. I live in the Erev. I live in the Mu'urav. But you, Yaakov, are an Ish, Tam, Yoshev, Ohalim. You learn Torah, you live Torah, you love Torah. You live in the light, you live in clarity. My name is, don't ask me any questions. But the Torah shines light in darkness. Not just in the world or Lagoyim, but also against the very angels that you and I struggle with. And the minute we realize that these angels, that these uncertainties don't exist, then it's Lama Zeti Shalishmi. I don't have an essence. And this is the reason why Al Kain Lo Yochlu V'nei Yisrael Gid Anasha. We don't eat because every single time we eat, we are reminded of the hesitation, of the uncertainty, of the safek, of the lack of clarity that Yaakov went through. Before he had to fight Esav, he had to fight himself. Before he was able to become the head, and that's why B'nai Yisrael is first mentioned here, and nowhere else. Nowhere else in all of the Chumash until this point are we called B'nai Yisrael. Now we can become B'nai Yisrael. Now we can have the clarity, the strength of character, the strength of Emunah, to say, I'm not going to eat the Gid Anasha. I understand that it's darkness. And you and I struggle every once in a while with things. Can I do it? It's not me. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to be. I can't do it. I'm not smart enough. I'm not hardworking enough. I don't deserve it. She deserves it. I don't deserve it. And this whole story, according to this path, is to remind us that you absolutely can. You're tricking yourself. Maybe it's an excuse. Maybe it's a shortcut. Maybe it's a way out. But when we live in darkness, that's true. We're going to be confronted by angels and struggles of inadequacies. However, when we live in light, we become B'nai Yisrael. We become the children of that one who fought Kisarita Imelukim. You're able to do it. And it's a reminder that the sun will always shine. There will always be clarity if we know where to look. Have a good evening, everyone.